This is Page Turners, the broadcast book club brought to you by Muncie Community Schools on WMUN, the talk of Muncie, 92.5 FM, 1340 AM, and Alexa say, play WMUN. Let's join the story now with your hosts, Cam and TC.
Thomas.
Yes.
Do you know what I love more than books? And no, it's not plants.
That was going to be my guess.
I know. It's always everybody's guess.
I don't know. Tell me.
The stars.
Oh, yeah?
Space, stars, planets.
So you must love it when stars, planets, space get mixed in with a book.
Oh, even better.
That's a win-win for you.
It's a win-win all the way around. And then I'll talk about it for the next 50 years. Or however long I live.
But well, good news for you. We have a book about stars and the sun and the moon.
And the eclipse, right?
And the eclipse.
Heck yeah. Which I'm super excited about, by the way.
Yeah.
If you can't tell.
So we have Jamie Sandberg.
Oh, I love Jamie. Yeah. Now, she wrote Total Solar Eclipse, a stellar friendship story, right?
She did.
Are we going to talk about that?
Yep, exactly.
Really?
Yep. Let's hop right into it.
Let's do it.
Here's our conversation with Jamie.
Thank you so much, Jamie, for agreeing to be on Page Turners. I was on the hunt for a children's book that surrounded the solar eclipse, and I found the perfect book with Total Solar Eclipse. I love how your book encompasses the safety of the entire event. So without hesitation, I was like, oh my gosh, I have to send her a message.
Oh my gosh, it is my absolute pleasure to be here with fellow book nerds. I hope it's okay to call you that.
Oh, 100%.
And it makes my whole life feel validated when you say that you found the perfect book for this thing that you were looking for around this total solar eclipse that's coming up, because that was 100% my goal. And I just feel like just by you saying that, I have reached the goal and I have reached exactly who I was trying to reach with this book. So thank you for having me on the show and this chance to talk about it, and one of my favorite things.
Absolutely. So with Muncie being in the path of totality of the upcoming solar eclipse, we want people to have fun with it, but we also want them to be super safe.
Right. Yeah.
So with that, could you tell us about your first solar eclipse experience?
I would love to. So I also, back in 2017, which, you know, it doesn't feel that long ago, but I guess now if we do the finger math, it was a few years ago when the last time a total solar eclipse came through the United States, it came through my hometown. And I have to be honest with you, and maybe some of your readers are like, or your listeners are like this, you know, I'd seen in the newspaper, it's going to be a big deal. People are going to come. And I lived in rural Nebraska. And I'm like, but are they really? I mean, I think we've seen solar eclipses. We kind of know, like, it seems like it's kind of getting a little bit overhyped. And I was flying back from a business trip, and I was on a plane, which usually is, you know, me and the pilot heading back to this regional airport at the where I live at the time. And it was full, and it was full of people from all over. And I was like, what is happening? And I started chatting with some of them, and they were there for the solar eclipse. And I thought, well, if all these people can fly thousands of miles and, you know, take multiple connections to get to this place, I suppose that I can, you know, get in my car, put my out of office on, and, you know, drive 8 minutes across town. So, so I just, you know, up until a couple of days, I wasn't even sure that I could be bothered to walk out my door and see it. And, you know, I was there with my family, got together, and some people from out of town had come, and I had my 3-year-old at the time, and I'm running around with, you know, the solar glasses with her, and we hadn't prepared for it at all. So I was like, put these on, look at the sun, you know, what are you doing? Like, it was a lot of just stress. And I'm 8 months pregnant. You can kind of imagine what that's like, right? It's like very stressful, but also kind of cool. And I would look up and I go, okay, that's a partial eclipse. I've seen that before. And then it started to change as it got closer to totality. And it was like, this is getting eerie. This is, you know, and it gets cooler, and the shadows start to do really crazy things. And then I actually, you know, got to see this completely unobstructed view of totality when the moon was just perfectly aligned with the sun. And I'm telling you, it was just an out of this world experience. It was just this moment of awe that I have never experienced before. It took me by surprise, I think low expectations maybe, you know, and then coming in. So I was really going from, like, you know, 0 to 120, it felt like. And when I watched that, in totality was 2 minutes, and I had this idea for the book. And I'm telling you, it like just came to me like that. And I watched it and just, you know, was completely moved by it. And I immediately went online and looked like, when's the next eclipse? Because not just going 8 minutes across town, I would travel across an ocean to see this thing, right? Like that's how hooked you get when you see it. And then I was looking for children's books because I thought, well, surely this is such an obvious idea. Other people will have done this. They will have already done it. And I couldn't find anything like what I had in mind. And I couldn't find much of anything at all. And I said to myself, I saw that there was another eclipse coming to the United States in 2024. And I said to myself, I'm a storyteller and I'm going to tell this story. And I set my goal and I went after it because I wanted to help moms like me. I wanted to help teachers and everybody have that experience, because when I was running around trying to make sure my three-year-old was, you know, doing what she was doing, it was taken away from my experience too. So I was like, this children's picture book can help so many people if I can, you know, if I can do it right. So, you know, fast forward and here we are, I'm talking with you. So I must have done it. We did something. Yeah.
You did something really great, because not only does your book educate, but it keeps people engaged. Thomas and I talk about keeping people and readers in the story as much as possible. And yes, it is a children's book, but even as an adult reading it, I'm like, oh, okay, I can get behind this.
I love that.
But then again, I'm a big Star fan anyway. So, you know, anything dealing with outer space, outer worlds, I'm in for it.
Yeah.
And I know we've said your story, but can you give us a short description of what your book is and what it does?
Yeah. So it's informational fiction. So it is a fictional story. It's told from the point of view of the sun, but it does try to follow the, the phases of the eclipse. Along the story, you learn how to safely watch a total solar eclipse while you're engrossed in the story of this friendship story, really, between the sun and the moon. So the sun's telling the story and the eclipse is approaching, and the sun is just feeling all the feels, right? The sun is like, one of my very great friends in this solar system is moving in, planning to steal my light during the daytime. That's my thing, you know? So sun is angry at moon, worried that, you know, the earthlings are going to think less of the sun, because if it can't shine in the middle of the day, you know, that's like, you know, that's a problem, mm-hmm. right? And just really afraid of losing that spotlight or sharing that spotlight with the moon. So throughout the book, sun tries to calm its fears by, you know, talking to not moon. I mean, that would be crazy, right? Talking to Earth, because maybe Earth knows some things. And Earth says, well, you know, maybe you should check in with moon. And so sun reluctantly does that and is told, it's going to be great. Just, you know, chill out. It's going to be totally fine. And sun's, you know, still not buying it, but goes into the day and starts to say, oh, my fears maybe aren't being realized. Look, the earthlings are wearing these, you know, eclipse glasses. They're being safe. They're not going blind and these things that had been one of the worries, but, you know, sun was still very nervous about what's going to happen when its light goes out. And then spoiler alert here, but when moon actually does go totally in front of sun, what sun realizes is that earthlings aren't thinking less of sun. They actually are thinking more, because as we know, during totality of a solar or of a total solar eclipse is the only time we get to see the solar corona. And it is this magical thing and sight to behold. And what happens and what sun realizes is that sun is actually even better with the help of moon. It's shining, it's still shining, but it's shining in a totally different way. So that's really the crux of the story, is that story of friendship and that we can be better together. And sometimes we're better in ways that we can't even imagine, and definitely in ways that we can't accomplish by ourselves. And I think that's an experience a lot of us have had, you know, whether we get teamed up with somebody at work or at school or on a team that's, you know, you don't want to, or maybe you think isn't as skilled as you, or whatever that is. And I loved when I thought about moon and sun could not be more different, right? One's really small, one's really big. And just through this awesome science, it works out so that they can team up and be this amazing team and bring out the best in each other. And that's what I wanted to demonstrate with the book.
Don't go anywhere. I promise we've got some more really cool conversations about stars and solar and everything eclipse with Jamie Sandberg coming up. So stay tuned.
This is Page Turners, the broadcast book club brought to you by Muncie Community Schools on WMUN, the talk of Muncie, 92.5 FM, 1340 AM, and Alexa, say play WMUN. Let's continue the story now with your hosts, Cam and TC.
I'm Jamie Sandberg. I'm the author of Total Solar Eclipse, A Stellar Friendship Story. You're listening to Page Turners.
You said the story came to you pretty naturally in the moment of the total solar eclipse. Did you instantly start outlining, or what did that process look like?
It really did, Thomas. And that's the craziest thing. It's like, I did not wake up that day thinking like, I'm going to find an idea for a children's picture book. You know, and I think a lot of authors that you've probably talked to will say that, like, inspiration just strikes at times you're not expecting it and can take you by surprise. So it sounds wild, but really in those 2 minutes, I could just see the whole outline of the book. And so normally I do sit down and I will write an outline. I like to know where I'm going. It's kind of like that, you know, if you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. And so you can wander, and you really can't wander with a 500 word children's book, right? You don't have that privilege to do that. And so, this one I didn't, I just started writing, and I did go through several drafts. I will say that had I actually been a little bit more, you know, thoughtful and not caught up in my moment of inspiration there, I may have saved myself some drafts, because it took me several drafts to figure out that my narrator needed to be the sun. At first, I didn't approach it that way. And it was a cute story, but it didn't quite engage. You know, we couldn't quite get in the feelings and understand that. And then once I did change that narration to the sun, it was like, this is it. Like, that was the problem, because we really just felt those emotions from sun, and then we could see some of the blinders and things like that. So,
yeah, you can connect with a direct character instead of just being off with a third party.
Right. Yeah. And this, I mean, there's just so much to relate to. Like you were saying, Camille, like any age, you can really relate to this story in some way. I've had friends who have smaller children, 10 months old, 1 year old, and they're sending me pictures like, oh, you know, Jack loves this book. And I'm like, you know, it's nice that you're supporting me, but you're kind of like overdoing it, you know? And then I keep getting, they're like, no, like he's obsessed with this book. And I think it was, I think what it is the illustrations. There are really great contrasting colors, and the characters are familiar with the sun and the moon, and they have, you know, just very expressive and very simple, but beautiful. And it's appealing to everyone from, you know, 10 months old on up to my great grandma.
You brought up the illustrations, and we've talked to a couple of authors who work with illustrators, and it's a lot of like hands-off, here's my story, and then they kind of take it. Was it like that working with Kathleen, or was it more hands-on?
We worked very collaboratively on this, and I feel really fortunate to have done that. And it was, you know, the way that every story is going to have a different approach, and your publisher is going to look at things, you know, and do things differently. But this one was really important to me to be able to work with the illustrator. So I found Kathleen. I really wanted to work with somebody who was in the same region as I was, so that we could actually get together and have conversations and, you know, look at the dummy book and physically hold it together. Because there's a lot, as we talked about, with this informational fiction to get it right, because it has to be kind of sort of scientifically accurate, but also has to have this whimsical and this, you know, playful feel and appeal that way. So Kathleen brought so much to the table, and I'm so grateful that I got to work with her on this. And we've, of course, become great friends, and it's just a joy. And I think the hard thing was that I had to keep reminding myself, since I did have access to Kathleen and she was so collaborative, to make sure that I was not taking away from her creative genius. And so I tried to take a step back and then see things how she was. And she had several critique groups and different things. And I think where we landed on it was just something that we're both really, really proud of and feel equal ownership over.
I love holding the book and feeling the matte base of it. And then the sun has a real smooth feel to it.
I selfishly did that, and we ordered with the spot UV on the cover because I just thought it was too good to pass up that sun could actually shine. I like it's, you know, it's got some multiple meanings in there.
Oh yeah. And we're huge texture people when it comes to books. I know I am. If a book page feels weird, I'm less apt to read it than if it feels yep. like a book page.
Isn't that funny? Yeah, there's like book people and then there's other people, you know, and I say most people won't be able to tell the difference in, you know, the printing or the type of paper that was used. But it's like, for those of us that can, like, we just work, we get real nerdy about it. So
yeah, we
yep.
know.
Yep. I love it. I love it. Thank you guys for noticing that. That's so fun.
Oh yeah. We have bookmarks that we hand out to people that are also in a matte finish because we're very stringent on the texture.
Yeah. Yep. I love it. I love it. That's so fun.
So obviously Muncie is going to be in the path of totality, but could you tell our listeners who else can see the total solar eclipse?
Yes. I would love to, because I don't want anybody to miss it, especially if it's so close. I saw something recently that was said, somebody was advertising, they said close enough to totality. It was like 99% or 99.1%. And I'm like, oh my gosh. That's like, you know, no, it's not close enough. You're either in it or you're not. And so if you're that close, please do yourself the favor and go an extra few miles and get actually inside the path, because you're either in it or you're not. So the first thing that you should do is, there are really great simulators and trackers online. There's lots of different websites. NASA has some great ones. Eclipse 2024 has some great ones. You literally just put in your city and then it tells you when the eclipse starts, if it's going to be a partial or if you're in total or in the total eclipse. So that's the number one thing. Make sure you know where you are, and then keep an eye on the weather. If it looks like it's going to be cloudy, you might have to travel a little bit. And I would just say to the listeners, it's worth chasing. So if you have that opportunity and you're so close, you know, do what you can to be able to see it. The traffic won't be fun, but it's going to be worth it.
You go to a concert and the traffic is terrible.
Exactly.
Why not see something that is only here once every 1,000 years?
Yeah, exactly. And the key, just like with a concert or a football game or something, like if you leave right when it ends, you're in it, right? But if you wait for the stadium to empty out, you just drive right out of there. You can even find your car, right? Because there's not like all the other cars around it.
Yeah.
So don't leave wherever you are. Don't leave right after totality, because that's when everybody leaves. So hang out, enjoy your, you know, the people around you for an, you know, another few hours, and it'll be a much better experience than being on the side of the road with your family in tow looking for the next bathroom. Ask me how I know. No.
It's almost as if it's from experience.
Yeah. No, I yeah. Well, that's yeah. This that's not that kind of radio show, but yes. planning in advance for all the situations is a good idea.
Before we wrap up, I'm curious if you have any new stories that you could tell us that you're working on.
That's such a good question. And I'm sad to say that I can't share anything right now. I'm working on some things I'm super excited about, but I'm just not to that point yet to put it out there. But you can always follow along on my newsletter on that solareclipsebook.com. You can sign up for the newsletter, and then those will be the first people to hear when news breaks. But I wish I could tell you, but not quite yet.
But now we know that she is working on something.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
So she's not done. She's working. So that's good. So, you know, We talked about the book, but where can people find it to purchase it or any of your other things that you've done?
Couple places to purchase the book, obviously online, wherever books are sold, including Amazon, all the places you would think of, you can get the book there. And then solareclipsebook.com is another place I would really encourage if you're wanting to get copies for a classroom or a bulk order of some sort, go to solareclipsebook.com and that will be able to be your best deal with that. And then I'm also something I can share is that we have a Spanish version that is going to be on the market in
Ooh.
about 2 weeks. So if you're
Nice.
interested in that, that will also be online wherever books are sold. So solareclipsebook.com.
That's all the time we had to talk to Jamie Sandberg today, but don't worry, I have a feeling she'll be back. And thank you to Muncie Community Schools for sponsoring Page Turners. We'll see you all next week on another chapter right here on WMUN, The Talk of Muncie.